Well, if you didn't know, now you know, but we had VBS this week, and it was a lovely week for all the kids and all those who helped us help them learn, and it was a great time. And I was in charge of tasking to catch you guys up who couldn't join us for VBS this week, and that's all right. I won't make you guys do the dances, but hopefully you learn there is a quiz at the end, though, so hopefully you're paying attention there. But there's a theme this week of a jungle cruise. As you can see behind me and throughout the church, that we have this theme of jungle cruise. And we cruised from Genesis all the way through Revelation in 5 days, so it was a pretty fast journey for us. And you guys are even going to get the faster version this week because you guys didn't attend. But at the end of it, God redeems, and that's a little bit of a spoiler, but we're going to mess up. I remember when I was a teen, there's plenty of times where I got myself into trouble, whether it was at youth group with pastors or with my brother or in relationships with friends and other people. And a lot of my times, I couldn't get myself out of those situations. I had to rely on someone else, mostly my parents, to come and get me out of that situation. Sometimes there's consequences to those things, but I had screwed up. And God treats us the same way. We are called the children of God after all. So we're going to mess up. We're going to screw up. And we get some fun ways to show how we screw up and those things. And God redeems us through it all. And just a quick thing is, since we cruised through Genesis to Revelation, I found a video that maybe remind us of all the books of the Bible, the order, and how things, maybe a brief sentence on what those books of the Bibles are. So we're going to watch a video, and hopefully that refreshes us.
God creates the world, humans wreck it. Exodus, the exit of the Israelites is epic. Leviticus and Numbers, God's people get wobbly. Moses whips them into shape in Deuteronomy. Joshua's pursuit of the promised land is legendary. Judges hold grudges, but Ruth is extraordinary. First and second Samuel, David has heart. First and second Kings, the king's kingdom falls apart. Chronicles, the Israelites are inching into exile. Ezra, Nehemiah bring them back from the Gentiles. Esther is the queen saving Jews from catastrophe. Job finds hope in the middle of his tragedy. Psalms are the bomb David drops when he's worshiping. Proverbs are the words of the wise king's journaling. Here's Ecclesiastes, life is a vapor. Here's Song of Solomon, skip it till later. Isaiah says King Jesus will be born. Jeremiah blasts God's plan on the horn. Lamentations, God's nation's in pieces. They need a new heart, which is Ezekiel teaches. Daniel, can you handle it? Furnaces and lions. The way of Hosea is salvation through reliance. Joel plays a role of announcing God's day. Amos is famous for the narrow and the straight. Obadiah, he applies true Messiah's on the way. So does Jonah all alone inside a fish for 3 days. Micah, like an earthquake, speaks God's power. Names got a trustworthy strong tower. Habakkuk with the backup of a vision on a tablet. Zephaniah writing God's love is elaborate. Haggai, good guys, passion is contagious. Zechariah, Malachi, God's gonna save us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all about Jesus. Acts are the facts, how he'll never leave us. Romans is a road to a spirit-filled life. Corinthians, faith, hope, love, never die. Galatians, fruit of the spirit gonna grow. Ephesians, God's masterpiece, good to know. Philippians, running that race with Christ. Colossians, washed clean, doing things right. First and second Thessalonians, giving God gratitude. First and second Timothy, leading with your attitude. Titus gonna tell us about grace from above. Philemon, leaning on brotherly love. Hebrews, brewing up faith like a child. The name of a James game, join every child. First and second Peter, cast cares on Jesus. First, second, third John, his love freezes. Jude is a dude speaking truth that burns. Revelation celebrating Jesus' return.
So I guess I don't need to preach anymore. You guys are dismissed. We can go eat now. I'm just kidding, but that gives us a little bit of a refresher where we're going to start. So the first seed that the kids learned this week is creator and creation, that God creates us in all types of different ways. He makes us look different, but he creates us all in his image. And so like that, there's different things that show us. So if a kid wants to come up here real quick, come on up. I saw your hand first. Normally when I call them up this week, but they've been playing games. But you can come on this side of the table. So before God creates us, there's things laying around, nothingness, and he forms us. He creates the skies, he creates the waters, he creates the creatures. And so if you would build that sandwich for me, and after every time you put a piece on the sandwich, we're going to say it's good. Because after every day, God says it is good. And the last thing, so when you put the final bun on top, we're going to say it's very good. Because we as humans get called very good at the end of it. All right, so go ahead and put one thing. It is good. It is good. It is good. It is very good. And after God created all of us, he took a rest. So you can go sit down. Thank you very much. Give up a hand for her. And so God takes a rest after creating us. And we live in a beautiful garden. Adam and Eve get to name the creatures. They get to live. Or in this case, you get to enjoy a nice sandwich. And so we learn about this on the first day, that we are good, that God creates us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we see this in Genesis chapter 1. And it doesn't last long. In Genesis chapter 2, we see a retelling of the same story of being creator. And corruption happens. Bad things happen. Adam and Eve choose to not listen to God and go against what he had told us. And so I need another volunteer. Come on up. I saw your hand first. So we have this nice creation up here that was built for us. This is the second sandwich. If you want to throw those in the blender for me, both of them. Sometimes we make mistakes. Do you think this is a good idea? No. Some people think it is. Youth pastors might. Right? Pour a little water in there just to make sure it blends. All right. Why don't you go ahead and hit the high... Go ahead and hit the high button for me. Oh, yeah, that looks good. Mmm, delicious. Do you want to drink that?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure? It looks so good, but it was a sandwich.
Why don't you?
No, you do it. That's why I brought you up here, so I didn't have to. But sometimes we make foolish decisions, that we've taken God's creation and we've ruined it, right? Would you have eaten the sandwich beforehand? Yeah? Would you eat it now?
No.
No? All right. Well, I tried. Thank you for helping me. But sometimes we make dumb decisions. Yeah, give her a hand for him. We make dumb decisions that don't look all that good. If anyone wants to take a look in there. Mmm, delicious. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I cannot make this back into a sandwich that was looked delicious and I could convince Blaine to eat. We do stupid things. And there's nothing that you or I could do to make this sandwich whole again. We could try to scoop out all the pieces and form a patty and a bun and an egg, but I don't think that's going to go very well. Do you guys want to try?
No.
No? You guys want to try? Why don't you two come up? I apologize to the parents. Their hands are about to get very messy. All right. While I speak, I'm going to put this on there. You guys can try to form. I'm going to take the blade out, though. You guys don't need that. So go ahead and try to make a sandwich for me. But they're going to try, and a lot of times we are like this. We try to, oh, well, I messed up. I threw it in the blender. I made a mistake. Well, I'll just try to form a sandwich. I'll just try to make it like God, it never happened. And we see this from Adam and Eve as well, as they try to hide from God, that they realize that they're naked, and they think, oh, we didn't know they were naked. God asked them, how do you know those things? They've made a sandwich. Do you guys want to eat that?
Yes.
Go ahead and take a bite for us. Oh, now you guys don't want to eat it. You guys can leave the sandwich. Thank you. Unless you guys want to eat it. It's interesting. No one wants to eat the sandwich now. But thank you, girls. Would you girls have ate the first sandwich up here?
Yeah,
they would have, but they won't eat it now. So, interesting. So, sometimes we try to make a sandwich out of the sin that we've committed, and there's nothing you or I can do to make this sandwich whole again. There's nothing that your parents could do. They can't get you out of a situation like my parents usually could for me. The biggest way that my parents would get me out of a situation was I historically am terrible at English. I cannot write papers, and yet I've chosen a career where I write a lot of things. It's why all of you don't see my notes. You could just hear what I say, because my notes are horrendous. But a lot of the time, my teachers would say, do a rough draft, and then fix all your mistakes. And my entire thing was just red squigglies all the way down. And so I would sit there with my dad for hours and hours of him correcting what I should have said, rewording things, telling me what I did and didn't do right, all those things. And so he would get me out of those situations. I couldn't have done that on my own. And maybe some of you guys could because you're great English people. I couldn't. But our sin is like that, where there's nothing we can do to make this better. We just kind of have to say, live with our sandwich or hope that we figure it out. But after this mistake, things got even worse for humanity. The next sea that we learned about is catastrophe. We learn about Noah and the flood that happens. In Genesis 6 through 9, we hear God calls us wicked. The earth has turned to wicked people, and the definition of wickedness is morally evil against God. And so obviously that's not a good thing. So sorry for my mess. But I need another volunteer. You guys just helped me make a sandwich. Anyone else? Come on up, Oak. But we learned about confusion and catastrophe. These things get weird. So normally, if you were to eat this sandwich, right, you would just pick it up and eat it, right? You wouldn't use a hammer, right? That'd be pretty confusing. So hold that. So sometimes in our confusion, we make mistakes. And if I want to use this so we don't break a table here. If you just want to smash this sandwich with that hammer, don't break the table. That's how hard. Come on, there you go. Keep going. Get that anger out. Perfect. So Oak is very confused about eating the sandwich. He's clearly not doing it right. And we've destroyed more of it. So God says, Noah, I'm going to take your family. Thank you, Oak. I'll clean it up later. And so we mess up. We as humans mess up the perfect situation, but God is still in control of this situation. God can still redeem these sandwiches as much as we've destroyed them as humans, as much sin as we have put in our lives, and we put into other people's lives as well. And we see this in Genesis 11 as the people spoke one language. God had told them to go out and make babies, make the earth plentiful with his kids. Instead, they got smart and said, you know what? We'll just build a tower. We'll just all live here. We'll do a great job because we can all figure this out. Our way is better. And it's kind of like taking a hammer to a sandwich where we go, oh, this will work. This will definitely work. And so we see in Genesis 11:9 that this is why it got called the Tower of Babel, because the Lord confused the languages of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them all over the face of the whole earth. His plan was better all along, and he just had to give them a push and force them to do what he originally asked them. We're not always great listeners. I'm sure many of you have developed the skill set of selective listening. I know I have. One of the greatest gifts my parents bought me for Christmas was sound-canceling headphones, and so I didn't hear anything that they said. So when they called me to do dishes, I legitimately could not hear them. Even when I wasn't wearing the headphones, all of a sudden I couldn't hear them. And we make mistakes. I got into trouble with that. So did my brother, because they also bought him sound-canceling headphones. But we chose not to listen, and there's consequences to that. God said, instead of having one united language, we're going to have many languages, and you're going to be forced to be unable to communicate with one another. And so we have this sandwich that we've destroyed because we've sinned. Catastrophe has happened. We've tried to eat a sandwich with a hammer, and it has not gone very well for us. So what God says is, clearly this is not working. You guys need some help along the way. We needed a savior. We needed someone to fix our mess. And instead of trying to make these sandwiches better, God instead gave us a McDonald's sandwich. He said he sent us the cross and sent us Christ. He sends us Christ to die for our sins, to deliver the gospel message. And says, instead of every time you choose to throw a sandwich in a blender or hit a sandwich with a hammer or let the youth pastor speak on Sundays, I'm going to give you a McDonald's sandwich. And it's better than the stuff I heated up in the microwave today. It's fresh. It's hot. You don't have to worry about this. I'm going to clean this up for you. And instead, I'm going to give you a sandwich. Who wants one? I saw your hand first. Oh, it's all right. It's 5-second rule. You'll be okay. I've eaten plenty of things off the floor, and I'm still alive. And so God chooses to love us and give us a new sandwich every time. This morning, I gave the teens some McDonald's sandwiches, and normally I bring them donuts, which is more than what most of you guys get for Sunday morning Sunday schools. Talk to your Sunday school leaders. But today I gave them sandwiches, and they were all grateful. We had been talking about it, and I said, what perfect way to give them a sandwich when we're talking about sandwiches today? And so God says, instead of doing this, I'm going to give you something better. And every time you mess up, every time you blend something up, I'm going to give you a new sandwich. All you have to do is ask me for it. So when we screw up, when we commit sins, when we do stupid things in our lives and we don't know how to get out of it, we can't. God is the only one to do that. He loves us in spite of our sin. He doesn't love the sin. He doesn't love what we do, the choices that we might have made in that manner. But he loves us because we are the children of God. We get to perform VBS dances in our homes when no one's looking, right? We get to sing in the shower, and God loves us about that. That we are called to have the innocence of a child and love for him. And he loves us. Just the way that these leaders this past week have loved on these kids that you see before you, whether it be doing games or snack or songs up here, or even embarrassing themselves doing a little drama skit that they were rushing to memorize an hour beforehand. You guys didn't hear me that for that from me, though. And so, we don't deserve God, but we receive him anyway. And we don't get to pick up the sandwich, rather we have to put our hands open and receive it. That when we screw up, we have to continuously go to him with our hands open, ready to receive what he's going to give us. And we have to ask for forgiveness. My parents always taught me that asking for forgiveness and apologizing was not just about feeling bad about what you had committed, but rather I'm going to challenge myself to do better next time so that way I can treasure the sandwich I get. We don't just take a new sandwich so that we can throw it away or throw it off the roof of the building or doing all the other things that I brainstormed about blowing it up. But I don't think Eugene would have liked that. Instead of thinking of all the ways we can just go and get a new sandwich, we say, you know what? I'm going to treasure this sandwich. I'm going to treasure this gift that Jesus has given us. That on the cross, in Christ together, salvation would come for us. And so we see in Psalm 14:7, David is writing earlier in the psalm of Psalm chapter 14. We see him talking about being corrupt. We see in Psalms 14:3, all have turned away and all have become corrupt. There's no one who does good, not even one. And so David is feeling this, but later, just four verses later in Psalm 14:7, he says, oh, the salvation for Israel come out of Zion. When the Lord restores his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. He says, despite all of us not being good, that we can never get to heaven on our own accord, Christ is going to redeem us. Christ is going to give us a new McDonald's sandwich every time we ask for one. And not because we deserve it, not just because we've been quote-unquote good. Jesus is not some genie or Santa that we get a gift from, but rather because he loves us continuously and unconditionally. There's nothing that you could do to deserve the sandwich. There's nothing better to do. And at the end of the week, they learned about consummation. They learned that Christ will come again. That Christ has come, that he's redeemed our sins, that he will continuously give us a new sandwich every time we need one. But there will be a time where sandwiches are not needed. That he will give us a new one. Who else wants another one? You haven't helped me today. And so, but eventually, there won't be a need for sandwiches. That we will be with him in heaven. That he will come another day. I don't have any more sandwich, guys. I'm sorry. But that we don't need sandwiches anymore, that we would be living in heaven with him eternally. God will restore and redeem all of his followers. The people who believe, who continuously held out their hand for sandwiches, like the kids in front of me have all day, right? They will not need sandwiches because God said, you'll be with me the entire time. And so thank you, kids. I appreciate all your help and stuff. But you guys can go sit with your parents now. And so we don't need sandwiches eventually because Christ will be with us, that we will be among Christ and the rest of his followers. We will be among brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I understand that this was a crash course of information, but these kids have been learning about this stuff all week long, that they've seen it in drama plays as characters play this out and accept Christ, through their Bible lessons, through their games and snacks. And so if you want to know more, don't come ask me or Pastor Troy. Ask one of the kids. Ask them what they remember this week. Ask them what activity was their favorite. And you might say, well, I don't get to interact with them. Well, luckily enough, we have food after, where you get to sit down, you get to eat with people you may know, and that will be great, but you also get to sit down and eat with people you may not know. People across from the sanctuary that you don't get to talk to, and you tend to make excuses why you don't invite them to lunch. Well, we've got lunch covered for you. We've got snacks. We've got plenty of food. I see Bob how much food he's making right now, and that means all of you need to come because I cannot eat it alone. But we get to ask the teens and the kids what they've been learning in Sunday school, in youth group, in children's church, at VBS. Because I know some of these kids are going to be very shy to talk to, but others will talk your head off if you allow them to. So all I ask, if you did not attend VBS this week, which is a lot of you here, that you ask a kid today at lunch, what did they learn this week? Maybe there's a favorite lesson, maybe ask them what all the seven C's were because you didn't catch them up here, right? Ask them about the characters in the drama and who made a fool of themselves the most, who didn't memorize their lines. But we will get to spend Christ, we will spend time with Christ and each other all the time. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So, well, we won't need sandwiches. We won't need to ask for forgiveness because we'll be in Christ's presence all the time. And there's nothing evil or bad can be in Christ's presence because he is good. And just remember, if we go back all the way to Genesis 1, that everything he made is good. And us, we're very good. And he loves us through and through. And so if you don't remember anything I've said today, you don't remember the seven C's, remember this, that you are children of God, and you are called to have the joy and the love that these kids have displayed for us today. That in 1 Timothy 1:17 it says, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Here Paul is writing to Timothy. As Timothy has taken over a church, he started to become a leader in the church, and he's giving him words of encouragement. Later on in the letter in 1 Timothy, he talks about different issues that Timothy's going through, addresses some things, but here the first part is all encouragement. And that should be the same encouragement to us, that no matter what you do, no matter how many times you throw your sandwich in a blender, hit it with a hammer, or whatever else you do to your sandwich, that God will give you a new one if you just ask. If you just say, put out your hands and I need a McDonald's sandwich, he will give it to you. Or in this case, that he will resolve you of your sins, tell you to wipe your slate clean, that he will forgive you over and over again. Not for you to abuse, but rather so you can have a relationship with Christ each and every day of your life. That you can come to church, maybe feeling broken, but God will redeem you. Maybe you go to church, go to work tomorrow morning, and you feel broken, but God will redeem you. God will love you through whatever you're going through. Whether it be a loss of a grandparent, whether it be having just a bad day or losing a job, the grief that comes with that, that he is eternal, that he is immortal, and he's the only God. The Israelites forgot this throughout their journey as we've been going through the Old Testament in youth group, but the glory and honor will be with him forever and ever, that he is the maker of the best sandwich we could ever ask for, that there's nothing we could do to fix what we had done. Nearly, we just need to get on our knees, open our hands, and ask for forgiveness. And that doesn't mean we remain on our knees. It means we can get up and go into the world and tell other people about it. I hope the kids, my prayer for them, that they get to remember VBS, not just for today, so that way you can talk to them, but they remember a month from now for the dreaded school coming towards them. That they would be able to tell their friends and their peers about, hey, I went to this cool thing over the summer, because they always make you write those things of what you do over the summer. The first thing that pops in their head is Vacation Bible School, the lessons that they learned, and said, hey, I would love to see you there next year, but in the meantime, we have Sunday school in the morning. We have kids' church on Sundays. We have Upwards coming up this season. Maybe we have Wednesday nights. That they would be willing to invite one another, because it's not going to be Miss Deidre, even though she does a great job with children's programming. She's not going to be able to grow it alone. That I won't be able to grow youth alone. That Pastor Troy won't be able to grow this church alone. Rather, it'd be each and every one of us inviting one person, inviting three people, inviting the whole class if that's what it takes. And so, as a way to remember this, to send you guys out from that, we're going to partake in communion. If you don't know what communion at first is a celebration and a memory of hope for what God has done for us. That as we see Christ in the cross that the kids learned about, that he died for us, but he also resurrected. He had the disciples come and join him in this act. And so as I ask the ushers to come on down, we here at the Nazarene Church have open communion. And what that means is, as long as you are a follower of Christ, as long as you have accepted Christ into your heart, you can partake with us. And we'd love for you to join us in this act of remembrance. You don't have to be a member of the Nazarene Church for this to happen. You just have to be a follower of God. And this is a celebration. It is as sad as Jesus at the Last Supper presents to his disciples the blood, the grape juice representing his blood, and the wafers representing his body. But it's a celebration of what he's going to do. It is painful in that time as he dies, most painful death you could. But rather, the forgiveness offered, the way we get a new sandwich, is this happening. That Christ is born and the cross happens. And we get to celebrate the union with Christ's body. As a church, we get to celebrate the union with Christ, but also as brothers and sisters, as we all partake in this together. So we ask that you hold the elements until we can all do this as one church family. The other thing is, too, is it's a time of participation in the entire creation of the world. All the seas that we've talked about today, the seas we talked about at VBS, we get to partake in the creation of the world, his birth at Bethlehem, his teaching and his miracles, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and his second coming that we look forward to. And that's what VBS was all about. As Jungle Jim sailed throughout the week down a cruise, that we got to follow that, that we get to partake in that as well. Not just the kids getting to smash the sandwiches and eat them and have fun, but this is our way to partake of that. And just as we get to share this, we are reminded that the earliest church shows that they would regularly share bread and wine together as part of their festivities, as part of getting together. That they would be reminding themselves as Jesus died, as they moved on past this Last Supper. And we get to do the same today. Not only do we get to partake in communion together, but we get to go eat together, which is why it's so important that you show up. Not just for the free lunch or get to talk to some kids, but because that's what being a church is all about living together, about eating meals together, about remembering what Christ has done for myself, for you, for those around us. And what better way to do that than over food? We all have to do it. We all have to eat. We all have to go get lunch after church anyway. Some of us go out to eat. Some of us have something in a crock pot or a smoker or just have leftovers as we cook a big dinner. But we get to share life together. And we'll do that at the end too when God comes back. It may not be in my lifetime or your lifetime, but he will come back. And so we understand that this is a big thing. We understand that sharing life together means eating together, sleeping near each other, spending life in small groups, sharing the word with one another in that. And so as we do this, as we partake in this, just remember that. Pray over the people that you can share with next time we take communion? Is there something that you, someone that you would love to be sitting next to you as you do this the next time on the Sunday? Is there someone this week that we can share dinner with, we can share a meal with together? Maybe you have a few leftovers, you're going to cook a big meal anyway. What's the harm in bringing in a few other people for some laughs and memories together?